Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk this week about spiritual combat that we're engaged in. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, we began by looking at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, where St. Paul exhorts the community to put on the whole armor of God because we're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers of this world, spiritual forces, you know, dark powers that are very real. And he tells us to stand. I think he says it maybe four times in that short section. As I mentioned yesterday, the posture of the Christian and the kind of the nature of the battle that we're fighting is unique in this way, because we already know that the war has been won. Jesus Christ is Lord. The kingdom has been established. It's no longer, ultimately, the outcome is not being contested. That's over. What's being contested now is the destiny of creatures, human beings on the earth. What will be the destiny of individual people, where they will end, in the kingdom of heaven or in the kingdom of the enemy, one way or another? And the kingdom of the enemy is still present here, but he doesn't have the same level of full dominion that he had prior to Christ's coming, because the church is here. And the church is equipped with the powers of heaven, with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? With being united to the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit, we've got the Word of God, we've got the sacraments, we've got the intercession of the saints, we've got the rosary, we've got Our Lady, we've got St. Michael the Archangel, we've just got so much to equip us. What the devil tries to do is to put us to sleep and to not take it seriously and try to fill this world with so many distractions, either, you know, the kind of distractions that would, whether it's constant entertainment, whether it's just trying to, you know, make life nothing but a Disney ride, so to speak, you know, that make existence on the earth, you know, Disneyland, perpetual fun and distraction. Or there's the enemy's strategy to lead people, to enslave people into things that look good, partying, drinking, all kinds of things that once you start stepping into them, you let your guard down, and then he leads you to overdo it. He, as I said yesterday, he can shoot fiery darts, scripture says, and that fiery darts is heightening the intensity of temptations at critical moments so that we go too far, which means we open the door more within us for the devil to have greater and greater access. You remember Jesus told the apostles that the devil was coming after him, but that the devil had no hold on him, that Jesus was in charge. There's no place the devil could grasp Jesus. There was no compromise. There was no sin. He couldn't get at him on that level. And Jesus knew how to defeat him. But that's not the exact situation we're in. We have great vulnerabilities if we're not walking in the Lord with the full armor of God on and using and availing ourselves to all the different means by which the Lord has equipped us and is strengthening us to walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God and have authority over the enemy. There's two temptations that we're constantly being warned about by saints and other wise people in the church is when it comes to the devil, it's important not to, number one, deny his existence, act like he's not real and that you don't have to take it seriously. And you look too lightly at the whole side, the whole reality of spiritual combat. That's very unwise. That's also very unbiblical, inconsistent with the teaching of the church and what we know about human life. But on the other hand, there's another temptation to see the devil around every corner, or to, you might say, expand who he actually is and to somehow see in him the Lord's equal, like these two equal powers, Jesus and the devil squaring off. It's not even close. Remember, always remember, the devil's a creature. He's a powerful fallen creature, for sure, a unique kind of fallen angel, but he's nonetheless a creature. There's nothing the devil can do ultimately to harm God or to bring down God's kingdom. There's nothing like that being contested. Jesus is Lord. The devil is terrified of Christ, and there's nothing he can do to him. And he's terrified of people who are deeply rooted in Christ, like the saints. And he's constantly working. He has to send so many demons and work so hard to make even a little traction in the life of a saint. Because the saint is standing, as Paul said, so powerfully. Paul would say, stand in what? stand in all the spiritual armor, the powerful armor that the Lord has given to us, and wield the sword of truth, as we talked about yesterday. Again, the posture of standing is in the nature of our fight, is to stand in the Lord. We're in the Lord, baptized into him, and not to give up ground. To basically stand and hold your position and to endure in this battle, whatever comes at us, whoever endures to the end wins. Just hold your ground. Do all that your duty requires. Scripture says, hold your ground. But we're tempted because of our fallen nature. We're tempted because of the world and the flesh, the devil together. We sometimes get seduced and duped. And that's why people become, even people have been baptized. We all know, all of you who are listening, I can say in my own life, the ways in which in my lifetime, I opened my life to the tactics of the devil, his strategies against me, because I said yes to sin at various times in my life. Or I had vulnerabilities that I could easily give into. How? Like, you know, I grew up in a home that was good family, but we were dysfunctional. We had alcoholism in our family and all kinds of stuff happens in homes like that. And then ways of thinking, ways of behaving, ways of believing start to impact your mind, and you start thinking negatively or thinking a kind of dark narrative about your life, a different kind of storyline that's not filled with the truth of God's word. And as a young kid, all the way through, you know, elementary and high school, I mean, I don't think I ever once took up the Bible and read it. I was ignorant of the word of God. I mean, I went to Catholic schools and learned some things, but I didn't give my life to Christ. I wasn't in earnest putting God first. I wasn't availing myself of all the resources that the Lord was ready to equip me with. And so I was fighting against the enemy without the powerful weapons the Lord has gave me in my baptism and confirmation to be able to engage in that spiritual combat. So number one, don't underestimate the devil as if he doesn't exist, and don't overestimate him. I think today, because people can become so discouraged, they can have a big fear, like the enemy is so big, you know, and God seems so small. Don't ever forget, they're not two equal powers, not even close. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's part of the faith when Paul says to us, hold up the shield of faith, especially against the fiery darts of the enemy. The fiery darts of the enemy are accusations against God and condemnations and disqualifications against you. He accuses God that God isn't, lies about God, that God is not good, that he doesn't keep his promises, that maybe, you know, he's not even real, or that somehow you are uniquely disqualified to receive God's favor, God's promises in your life. God's promise doesn't apply to you. When God says, I'm with you always, it doesn't apply to you. When God says your sins are forgiven, you know, you go to the sacrament of reconciliation and you hear those wonderful words, and somehow you can walk out that door, and before you know it, the enemy's accusing you, that somehow that grace does not apply to your life, or that you deserve it, right? Or that you have to work extra hard to get God's favor, or that God somehow, yes, God is love, but somehow you don't deserve that love. That's true. None of us deserve it, but we've been given it by God through Christ in the Holy Spirit. God is love. And so the devil's constantly trying to undermine our ability to stand in confidence in God. So this is one of the reasons why Paul tells us, as he mentioned, to take up the word of God, the offensive weapon. And one of the ways you resist the devil, you know, as the devil's attacking, you put up that breastplate of righteousness. You know, you're standing in righteousness before God. First of all, you claim the righteousness that belongs to you as a Christian, that's been given to you, the right relation. I am in a relationship with God by God's mercy. And through baptism, the sacraments, the word of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I have the life of God in me. And if I've fallen into sin, get to confession. Let the Lord heal. Let the Lord forgive you. Let the Lord free you, so you can stand freely and you give the devil no room for condemnation. Always remember, when the devil comes after you to accuse you again and again and again, 70 times, 7 times a day, Jesus said, we can turn to him and seek forgiveness and we will be forgiven. 70 times 7, 7 is the number of fullness times 70. It's the Lord is just saying, really, whatever's needed, I am the God of mercy. Come to me and receive forgiveness. But don't hold on to those sins. Don't presume on that. You know, don't be presumptuous, but reach out, cry out, seek God's mercy, and he will extend that mercy. Because if we don't turn to the Lord for him to continue to free us, we have to close those access points that we've given to the devil through sin. Maybe acting out in anger or rage or vengeance or lying and deception or acts, lustful acts that are totally inappropriate, whatever that might be, drug addictions, pornography, all these are all doorways, access points that in our free will we say yes to, which puts down our guard. We step out of that place of righteousness and that place of protection and that standing in a sense of with that sobriety of mind and heart, being alert to the battle, not giving up any ground. Well, those are the places and the ways you give up ground, and we give the devil access. We've got to go back, take up the word of God, and let the word of God tell you, you know, who you are in Christ. Get the forgiveness where needed directly from the Lord, or getting to the sacrament of reconciliation. Especially if you fall into serious sin, that's critical that you get there. So staying alive to the nature of the battle. St. Ignatius of Loyola, in his Rules for the Discernment of Spirits, gives us one of the most important rules. There is rule number 12. It says, the enemy weakens and flees when he's resisted promptly by doing the opposite of the temptation. Let me read that again. The enemy weakens and flees when he's resisted promptly by doing the opposite of the temptation. So this is why, like St. Peter says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Stand against him. Even if you've fallen there for a moment, okay, stand up. The devil wants to take you all the way down. He wants to enslave you. And when you're in the midst, you've fallen. What he wants you to do is get discouraged. There's no hope, because he's the one who seduces it. Well, this is so good what you're getting led into, and it's not going to be a problem, and you're going to be glad you did it, and it's going to console you and help you, and it's going to make you feel good. And then as soon as you step into it, bam, he's all over you like stink on a skunk, and he is accusing you day and night. That's what he does. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies, and he wants your destruction. So if you have stepped in, and you have fallen, immediately begin to resist him in the name of Jesus. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to feel it. The word of God says, I have a right to repent in the Lord. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. This doesn't define me. And Lord Jesus, I ask you for forgiveness for the sin I've committed. Then do what has to happen sacramentally. But do whatever you can to begin the resistance at whatever point you're at. Don't just ride out the storm that the enemy's going to take you through, or feel like because you feel so guilty about what you've done, you don't have any energy for it. That's what he's trying to strip you from. If you look weak, now here's the rest of that rule that he says, but if you lose heart in the face of temptation, the enemy gains strength and he grows fierce. If we let go, if we put down our arms, if we just believe the condemnation that he's heaping upon us, and we beat ourselves down and if we give into that, he's going to just roll over us. He's going to keep coming, because ultimately he wants to lead you to despair and eternal death, but you need to stand and resist him and he will flee. The power comes from the Lord and the Lord in you, not how you feel. So stand in it with confidence and resist the devil.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. Or subscribe to our podcast.